to honor our teachers and to pray for them. It's always good. The fellowship is always good. And it's always good to hear a portion of God's word. And I am honored to do that week in and week out, to bring you a message from God. And I pray that he speaks through me. And I take this pretty seriously, and I do pray that as I bring you these sermons, these messages, these talks, however you want to describe them, that your heart is open and that you hear a message from God, that you know him, that you know him more. But preaching, it's a burden to some extent, because I feel that responsibility, and I recognize that in my preaching there needs to be some balance, and sometimes I feel as if preachers, maybe it's just by nature of the people who choose this profession, is that we want you to be better. We want you to do more. And so a lot of our preaching is that challenge. Be holier. Be better. I like the phrase, mortify the flesh. You know, kill all of those fleshly desires. And read the Bible more, study more, pray more, do more good things to people, and pursue a life of holy, all those things. And we tend to do that. We're nudgers. I like that word. We nudge you into doing what God wants you to do. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's what we need to do. We need to hear that, because a lot of times we just drift into passivity. And so that's an important part of being a disciple, is to recognize that God calls us to this life of holiness. And there are things in our lives that we need to change. And there's things that we've been called to do. We've been called to take this message into the whole world and let people know what Jesus is, and to teach people. And so that's important. And if you read the Gospels, you read the Bible, and you don't feel this sense that you need to be transformed and to do things and to be holier, then I think you're really missing something. But sometimes preachers may emphasize that more than we should. I don't know. I don't want church. I don't think church should be where week in and week out you feel like we've been beat over the head. You know, be a good person, be a good person. Although some of you may need that more than others. I don't know. I need that. And I'm not saying that's not important, but that's one thing. I feel like I need to preach that. I need to preach that to myself. On the other hand, I think it's the preacher's responsibility also is to let you know that you are incredibly loved by God in a way that you're not loved by anyone else, and that his love is faithful, and his love isn't dependent on how good you are. His love even transcends your flaws and your weaknesses, and he loves you more than you can possibly imagine. It's an unending and an eternal love, and so I want to communicate that as well. And I think it's important in this profession and this role is to let you know that, is that this is who God is. And if you read through Scripture and you don't see that, then you're missing something. And so some days the preacher is going to challenge you, and you're going to leave thinking, man, I do need to do more. And that's good. And some days the preacher needs to just encourage you to bask in the love of God and just know that he loves you, even though you mess up, even though you fail. So today I want that to be this day. Today I just want us to feel the love of God. I want us to know that he cares for us so much. And even though we fail, even though we don't meet our own expectations, let alone meet the Lord's expectations, is that he still loves us. And we see this throughout scriptures. There are so many images that he used to describe God in scripture as that loving God who cares for us. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus used the term Father quite often to describe that. And that speaks a lot to me. And I think that for me, that encapsulates maybe more than any other image of God, that focus, that love that he has for us. I had a great father. He loved me. I failed. I wasn't perfect. And I knew that. I knew that he loved me even when I didn't meet his expectations, even when I wasn't the person that I wanted to be or that he wanted me to be. And so when I think of God as Father, then it really speaks to me that God loves me not only like that, but even more than that. So that's I love that one, and that is used quite often in scriptures. But even more than that, there are several other images that are used to describe God's care and his love for us that paint a little bit different, have a little bit different nuance. And as I've been doing this, looking at some of those images, I recognize that a lot of them involve animals. How people love animals, or how animals take care of their young. For example, in Luke chapter 13, verse 34. In fact, Blake used this passage in our Bible class this morning. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and he's feeling this pain because I think he senses that these people have just been beat over the head so much that they've forgotten that God loves them, and so they're not really understanding this. And so he's grieving as he comes into Jerusalem. And he says, you kill the prophets, you stone those who were sent to you. And he says, how often have I longed, and picture this. Jesus is wonderful about creating these word pictures. How often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And he says, you are not willing. But he paints that picture. This is who God wants to be. He wants to be like this mother hen, and he just wants all of his chicks, all of his children, to be close to him, to feel that love, to feel that protection, to feel the beating heart of that mother hen, and to know that you're safe, and to know that you're loved, to know that you're protected. All right, so that's a beautiful image. Another image that is used in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3, this is God referring to his delivering the people of Israel from Egyptian captivity, and he compares it to, look what I've done for you in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's a beautiful image also. Eagle's wings, this majestic bird, just flying through the air. And there we are. We're on these eagle's wings, and we're being delivered over to God. There's nothing can stop an eagle, right? And he uses that image just to describe the power and the majesty that he demonstrated and he used in order to deliver his people. In Revelation chapter 5, in the last book of the Bible, Jesus is compared to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Powerful, majestic. This is the Savior that we serve, someone who we can rely on. When we're in trouble, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is there, and he can rescue us from all of our enemies. He's greater than any of our foes. And so there are a lot of animal images that are used in Scripture to bring us to this side of the equation to let us know, man, you are loved. Just look at the animal world. Just look at all of these different images that I'm using. And I want you to know that I feel that way about you. And most of us can relate to that because a lot of us have pets. How many have pets? Right? Yeah. More people have pets than don't. And for the most part, we love our pets, don't we? We really take care of our pets. We take our animals on vacation sometimes with us, on our vacation. We took our dog with us on vacation, and we took care of the dog, fed him, walked him on the beach. Never once did he offer to pick up the tab on any of the meals or anything, but we didn't pay for any gas. We love our animals. And when we don't take our animals on vacation, have you seen some of these boarding facilities these animal spas that are available that you can make sure that your dog is going to be loved while you are gone. They're going to be walked, they're going to be fed, they're going to be played with. And, you know, we looked into one of those one time, and, you know, I decided to send the dog on the vacation and stay at the animal spa.
Yeah?
That's not true, but, I mean, we really go through great lengths to take care of our animals. We love them. We take care of them. They depend on us. We see more and more places and restaurants that are opening their doors to animals, hotels. Animals serve as emotional support pets. They're used in therapy. Human beings have a unique relationship with animals, right? And in some way, that relationship that we have towards the animals that we take care of, in some way that also mirrors the relationship that God has with us. And it reminds us. It reminds us how God takes care of us. How he loves us, how we're precious in his sight, how when we come home, he's happy to see us. We bring him joy. And so one of the animal images that is used quite often in Scripture is that of a shepherd. We know that, right? In the Gospel of John, there are 7 I am statements where Jesus is trying to communicate to people, this is who I am. This is what I am to people. And so he says, I am the bread of life. We can relate to that. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. But one of these I am statements uses animal imagery when he says, I am, and you know what? I am the good shepherd. And implying that we are the sheep that he's taking care of. It's in John chapter 10 where Jesus says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's how much he loves the sheep. He said, the hired hand is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. There are some people in our life who are like that are not as dedicated as the good shepherd. The wolf attacks. The flock scatters, the man runs away because he's hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But he says, I want you to know, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. Now that's beautiful, isn't it? I've read that the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep was quite beautiful, much like the relationship that we have with our pets. Again, think about how much you love your cat, your dog, your turtle, your snake, or I don't know if you have a snake, that's another issue, I guess. But we love our pets. And I know some of you are not dog, cat, pet people. I realize that. But let's run with it anyway, right? You know people who just fawn over their pets. And so the care that we have for our pets can point us to the care that God has for us. And again, what I want us to feel today is that we're loved, we're taken care of by God, and to rest in that. And so, of course, one of the beautiful psalms that reminds us of that is Psalm 23. And a beautiful description. It's one of my favorite parts of Scripture of God's shepherding care. And it's today's parishioner's pick. Someone has requested Psalm 23 with this caveat. When my mom died in February, I found myself saying the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer and the words from the Sermon on the Mount about those who grieve. You know, it's times like that where we need to be reminded so much that God loves us, he cares for us, and he's bringing us somewhere. And so I'm going to read this psalm to you, and I want you to hear God's care for you. I want you to find comfort in his love, and I want you to find peace in the way that he provides for you. After I read this to you, then I'm going to ask Basil to lead us in another song that is inspired by the 23rd Psalm. But listen to these words. And again, just I can't say this enough because I want you to, you know, what did the preacher preach about today? God loves me. I want you to know that. That's what I want today to be about. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and Your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Basil.
This may be a new arrangement of Psalm 23 for you, and I invite you to listen to this, meditate upon the words as we sing this. The praise team will sing this, and if you do know it, please join in with us. You, O Lord, are my shepherd, I will never want. You will let me rest, You will let me rest. You lead me to streams of peacefulness. You restore my soul. You restore my soul. You will guide me in the path of righteousness. For Your name's sake, I may walk through a valley as dark as death, but I will not fear. No, I will not fear. You are with me, Lord, and Your rod and staff, oh, they comfort me, Lord, they comfort me. You have made a place before my enemies where I belong. Oh, Lord, You lead the way. With Your wisdom, You guide me. Oh, Lord, You keep me safe in the shelter of Your wings. You pour out Your oil upon my head, and You fill my cup. Lord, You fill my cup. Your love and Your kindness will go with me over all my life, over all my life. I will live forever with You in Your house, O Lord my God, O Lord my God.
Man, I hope you feel loved. Man, it's just amazing what God has done for us. As we look through that psalm, just some things that I just want to point out just real quickly, the protection that He offers us. And that's the shepherd's primary concern, the protection of the sheep. And to know that God is on my side, and to know that God is on your side, that he's fighting for you, to know that he vigilantly cares for you. He never lets his eye off of you. And his provision, the way that he provides for us, the green pastures, the quiet waters, the soul refreshment. He knows our needs. He recognizes our needs, and he provides for them. When we have the Good Shepherd, when that song, when that psalm, when this concept, when it really hits us, we recognize that we have all that we need. When you are loved so deeply by your Creator, then everything else just fades into the distance, doesn't it? We have everything when we know the love of God. His guidance, he helps us, he keeps us on the right paths. You know, what a glorious feeling to know that he's that nudger also, and that he reminds us of what we need to do so that we stay on that right path, so that we don't get lost. Because I'm so likely to take the wrong path. He guides me in righteousness. And then, I think it's verse 4, his presence in distress. Even in the darkest valley, we are confident in his presence, that he will see us through. And I think this is where the parishioner who submitted this request really finds that peace and that strength. Other translations say the valley of the shadow of death. And it reminds us that even in death, when we know that love, when we have that confidence that he's still with us, that he's going to guide us, that he's going to walk through that with us, then we can still have this measure of peace. Yeah, we grieve, but we have this measure of peace because we're just so abundantly loved. He's with us in those dark times, and all of us, almost without exception, have experienced those dark times. And to know that he understands those dark times because he was one of us in Jesus Christ. He felt all of those emotions. He felt abandoned. He felt that pain. You know, at a funeral, it's wonderful to know that your loved one was loved and that you are loved. And isn't it? It's a bittersweet experience, a funeral. I've done many funerals, but I've been in the pews for funerals as well, with my parents passing away, and to see people just show up means so much, doesn't it? Even if they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, but just sometimes to see a face and to know that person cares for me and is walking with me through that. I remember when my mother died, there were two experiences we had. We had the family night at the funeral home. And then a high school friend whom I hadn't seen in years and years and years showed up. You know, it was like, wow, I'm loved, I'm remembered. And then at the funeral, which was the next day, one of my old baseball coaches I hadn't seen in even longer, he made his way. He sat at the back as if he didn't feel like he belonged, but he came, and I don't think he'll ever appreciate how much that meant to me. But when you're walking through those dark valleys, to know that you're loved by people helps you. But then to know that you're loved by God, that he's there with you, it just gives us that peace and that strength. Those words, "You are with me," are just powerful, powerful words. And they're affirmed in Scripture over and over again. And again, that's what I want you to know, that God is with you. He's there all the time. He never abandons you. He always has his eye on you. Deuteronomy 4:7. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them? The way our Lord God is near us whenever we pray to him. There's no other gods who are like that. He says, our God is always near us. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. He is always there. Genesis 28 and in verse 15, I think think he's talking to, I believe it's Jacob, one of the patriarchs. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. Psalm 94, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forget his inheritance. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. How can we not be afraid or terrified? Because the Lord goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And what I added after I put these notes together, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Max Lucado, in his book Traveling Light, which is a book on the 23rd Psalm, he writes this. The discovery of David is indeed the message of Scripture. The Lord is with us. And since the Lord is near, everything is different. Everything. You may be facing death, but you aren't facing death alone. The Lord is with you. You may be facing unemployment, but you aren't facing unemployment alone. The Lord is with you. You may be facing marital struggles, but you aren't facing them alone. The Lord is with you. You may be facing debt, but you're not facing debt alone. The Lord is with you. He says, underline these words. You are not alone. Your family may turn against you, but God won't. Your friends may betray you, but God won't. You may feel alone in the wilderness, but you are not. He is with you. And because he is, everything is different. You are different. Let's just walk quickly through the rest of the psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's going to be vindication. Even those people that have been the thorn in your side, one day God will say, This is my man. This is my woman. And they'll just all be looking at you. You'll be the envy of all of those enemies. And David knew this so well, didn't he? As he had to flee from Saul. We will be honored in front of those who have attacked us. And then that, you anoint my head with oil. In our culture, that may sound a little odd, but that anointing was a beautiful ceremony. And as that oil flowed down, your head and down into your clothes. And it was just a sign that you've been chosen, that you have a purpose, that you have a mission, that you've been set apart for his purposes. My cup overflows. And as Christians, don't we have a special sense of God's blessings? We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. In our lives, no matter how much we have physically, our lives as Christians are marked by abundance. Surely goodness and love, or goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. I love that. Goodness and mercy, goodness and love, they're chasing after me. They're always after me. God always wants what is good and loving for us. And then his promise of heaven, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have this great hope that the shepherd is leading us to a beautiful place. God cares for you with a love that is unsurpassed and unmatched. Life may be difficult, but he is with you. Even when you think you can't go on, we need to know in time we will feel his joy once again. And he's going to stand up for us. He will stand up for us. If not now, then someday we will be vindicated. And he's given us this promise of eternal life. And so there are times to nudge you and urge you to be a better person. But today, maybe you're carrying this heavy burden of a demanding God who never seems satisfied with your efforts. And yes, there are times when we need to be reminded of God's call to holiness. And it challenges us to grow. But today, I want you to receive this truth. Maybe even just close your eyes right now. Close your eyes and just let this truth sink in. You are deeply, completely, irrevocably, loved by the God who calls you his own. You don't have to perform for his affection. You don't have to earn his care. You don't have to be perfect and be precious to him. You are his sheep, and he is your shepherd. And that relationship is sealed not by your faithfulness, but by his. So rest in that love today. Let it heal the places where you've been wounded by disappointment. Let it fill the spaces where you have felt empty. Let it remind you that you belong to someone. You belong to someone who will never let you go. And because we are so loved, we follow him. Not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. Not because we have to, but because we get to. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us thine, we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
We'd like to thank you all for being here with us today, for fellowshipping with one another, and for listening to a great sermon. Thank you.